Amen. All right, in Philippians chapter number 3. Now we're continuing with Christian conduct, Christian character. And one of the things the Apostle Paul doesn't waste any time about throughout all of the Pauline epistles is to continually warn the people, the Christians, the church, of evil workers, of false teachers, and of concision among the brethren over doctrinal issues. And I'd like to say that everybody gets along with everybody else once they get saved and they get in the church, but the fact of the matter is that there are always going to be heresies among you until the day the Lord comes and straightens everybody out and gets everybody on the same page. What you have to be aware of is that when those things are there, you have to know what the biblical instruction is as to how to handle it. And let me suggest this to you as we start into this. It's not your responsibility to try to straighten out everybody that doesn't agree with you. It's your responsibility to have fellowship with those that are like-minded with you, and then it's also your responsibility to not make a mountain out of a molehill. Sometimes people split over something that doesn't amount to a row of pins, and they wind up getting tore up and tore out of the frame. You have a guy that's out west right now who's sending a whole bunch of stuff. Somebody's gotten behind him with a bunch of financial support, and he's sending out stuff talking about all the preachers now that have preached premillennial preaching since the beginning of time of preaching premillennial, including Clarence Larkin and all of those. They're all apostate. They're all false teachers because the church is going through the tribulation and you need to be prepared for the church and going through the tribulation. You need to start getting ready now. Get your guns and get your ammunition and get your gold and get your silver and be prepared to come against God, because the preachers are not warning you today that the end of the world is coming and you're going to go through and you need to be prepared. Don't take the mark of the beast. And while that gets you all hyped up to get you involved in governmental affairs and other stuff, it has absolutely nothing to do with what's going to happen with you in eternity. Nothing. Zero. Less than a hole of a donut. You say, well, what do you think about it? I don't spend time fooling with him. He is an apostate. I don't spend time talking about people that worship Mary. Amen. You say, why? Well, you don't worship Mary, do you? I make a casual mention of it here and there just to make sure that you understand that the worshiping of Mary is wrong to do, but you're not Roman Catholic, so we don't need to worry about that. I don't need to worry about whether or not you know everything about Muslims. You don't run around with a towel on your head and a rug under your knees, do you? So if all I do is just instruct you about Allah, and it depends on who you talk about, they say Allah means God. Well, yeah, it does in one sense of the word, but some of the people that come out of that tell you that Allah is a female demonic deity, and it has to do with something to do with the devil, depending on who you talk to. Okay, so now you know that. What are you going to do with that? You going to tell them they're worshiping the devil? What's the benefit? Do you understand what I'm saying? Have you read the Quran? Well, why hadn't you read the Quran? Well, you need to read the Quran. Why? Why don't you just become an expert in this? If you want to read the Quran, that's fine. Go ahead, help yourself, and then you can go around and brag about how many times you read the Quran. I think there's a copy back there in my office you can read. It's still pretty fresh. I might have been through a couple of things there. I could care less what a surah says. I could care less what the Muslim teaches. I know they're wrong. All I have to know is they don't believe Jesus Christ. They don't believe in a Trinity. They think that God, Allah, is their only God, and that there's no other way to heaven except through Him, and blow yourself up or be a fool. There's a kind of a prejudicial way of looking at things. They look at women different than men. That's if you ever want a man's religion, that's it. Islam is a man's religion. Islam is all about the men. It's all about the men. Women are worse than a dog when it comes to that relationship. Church of Christ, they believe that you get saved by baptism. Okay, well, if you're from the Church of Christ, that's not how you get saved. The thing I've always had against the Church of Christ more than anything is not only do they preach Acts chapter 2, verse number 38, but if they believe that, then they also believe you can lose your salvation. There's no eternal security. So if salvation is being baptized, how come after you get back in fellowship with the Lord, they don't rebaptize you? They should be baptizing every week. If they believe what the Bible says about sin, then that means they sinned during the week, and so you got resaved. So they should just have a baptismal service all the time and just constantly just be running people in the whole church through. They wouldn't even have time for preaching. Because they lost their salvation, had to get resaved again. The point I'm trying to make to you is, I go through this, I'm going to show you a few things, and my intent for showing you this is to make you aware of certain things, but not to go through all the cults and all the false teaching. Now, we do teach it. Brother Brad does a great job teaching cults, and he'll teach some more to you later on. It's good for you to have that information in the back of your head. But you're delusional if you think when the Mormons come knock on your door that they're interested in you straightening them out. They're interested in wasting your time. A Jehovah's Witness hands you the watchtower or whatever, you take a look at that thing and say, okay, thank you, I believe in Jesus Christ and Him crucified, and I'm not, well, wouldn't you like to? No, I wouldn't, and I don't have any more time to talk to you. Wow, I got weeds to pull or wall to paint or a toilet to flush or something. Any excuse is as good as another one. You know, I'm fixing to get in the shower, whatever. I don't have time to talk to you. You say, why? An heretic after the first and second admonition, reject. Leave it alone. Don't get bogged down in it like a lot of people do. A lot of people just get bogged down in what everybody else is doing. Focus on your relationship with Jesus Christ. You'll not ever go wrong doing that. You start focusing on other religions and learning what everybody else believes about everything other than from an instructional standpoint, you can get yourself in trouble. Now, you're living in the last days, and I'm going to preach a little bit to you about that this morning when the regular church service, but in the last days, you're going to see Him deny the Lord. You're going to see Him deny God the Father. You're going to see Him deny Jesus Christ. You're going to see Him deny His return. You're going to see Him not be sound in the faith or sound in doctrine or sound in their moral principles. You're going to see just a perversion of everything. People nowadays are seeking for a religious experience. They're not looking for Jesus anymore. They're just looking for some kind of an experience. You people are going to become an anomaly. You're going to become strangers as this thing continues to run, whether the rapture happens or not. And it depends on who you read after. Is the rapture going to be in the spring? I think it will be. Okay, good. Now it's not. Well, now it's going to be in the summertime, and you're going to have this particular festival or whatever. But then if we put the Shemitah and we put in this and that and the other, it's going to be in the fall, and it's going to be a Jewish feast day. I don't care if He comes at Christmas. But the bottom line is that you might die before the service is over. And if you die before the service is over, that'll be your second coming because He's coming to get you. So if you're ready for that, then you're ready whenever the rapture happens. You can't prepare yourself against all the world's evil and everything that's going on. Whether you think the president is the Antichrist or whatever, I guess that'll change after the election. Oh, excuse me, if they even have an election, because I think they're going to issue in martial law before then, and the aliens are going to land, and a meteorite is going to strike us and knock the earth off its axis, and you're going to have all the water in the sea splash out, and you're going to split the country and divide all that other stuff. And that's right after the plagues and stuff break out, and then all the other tragedy happens in the entire world. Oh, and Yellowstone's going to go off, and the New Madrid Fault's going to split, and then they're going to hit you with an EMP attack and blow out your electricity, and there's never going to be another election that's going to be held anyway at all because the Antichrist is going to rise out of the White House. And what are you going to do about it? You know what I know? I know that some of you people are so caught up in that stuff that you're about to have a cow over it, but you don't believe it, or you'd be running for the hills right now. You'd be moving out of the state. Oh, they're coming through the Texas borders like a sieve, and all the people that are coming in right now, and the terrorists are slipping through our borders, and the borders are this and the borders are that. And all, you're still about people living in Texas. They're stacking up coffins now, and they're getting ready for, you know, the big exit. For you, the best thing could happen to you, the side of the rapture, would be a coffin. I know you don't believe that, but Paul said, for me to die is what?
Amen.
For me to die is what?
Amen.
Okay, well, if that's the case, you believe the Bible? Well, the day you kick the bucket's the best day you can have. It's not the day you're born, it's the day you die. If you die in Christ, you made it. You're saved. Praise the Lord. You made the right decision. You have to realize that. So when we start looking at these things, you're looking nowadays, and I mention all that stuff to you because you have everybody preaching nowadays stuff that has things that are just interesting to what's happening for you tomorrow. Nobody can predict tomorrow. What good would it do for you, most of you, if you were here worrying about tomorrow, and then you go home and feel like an elephant sitting on your chest, and they rush you to the hospital and find out the Widowmaker's got a hole in it and you're fixing to croak or whatever. Your whole day tomorrow would change. You're going to be laying up there waiting for them to cut you open and fix your widowmaker to find out whether or not you're going to live or you're going to die. Right. Everything you planned for tomorrow is now gone. You can care less about whether or not the squash and the beans and the taters get picked, and you could care whether or not the house gets painted or the roof gets fixed, or you could care whether or not the toilets leak. It don't make no difference to you at all. Everything changed. Right. You just get too consumed with the here and now instead of being consumed with the hereafter. I want to try to switch your mind off of that. Well, what's going to happen with the kids? You don't have no idea what's going to happen with the kids. You say, well, they're going to grow up and do this and that and the other. They might break their leg and their whole life changes.
Amen.
You have no way of being able to predict the future. God didn't make you to predict it. All he gave you was a predictor of certain things that are going to happen in the Bible, and you need to be prepared for those things. And if you stay in fellowship with the Lord during that time, whatever happens tomorrow, then you're ready for it to happen. Okay, they come in, they're going to confiscate all your guns, and the military is going to turn against you, and China's going to come in, and Russia's going to come in, and they're going to have a red dawn. They're going to come from Texas, and they're going to come from Alaska, and they're going to put the EMP and turn off the electricity, and then the military is going to move in and set up martial law, and you're going to have, okay, good. What you going to do about it? What are you going to do? You know what you're going to do? You're going to wait in line with the rest of us. You say, why? They're giving out food. You ain't Rambo. Well, maybe Brother Hargis, he's a Green Beret, but the rest, you ain't Rambo. Monroe do okay, and Chad, some of you hunters and stuff, you might do okay. You can live in the swamp with the mosquitoes and stuff, but not if you got to take care of a bunch of women and kids. Daddy, the snake got me. Daddy, the mosquitoes are biting me. Daddy, I've had a fever. Daddy, I feel bad. All that kind of stuff. You're not going to be out there with a bunch of snake eaters. You're going to be out there with a bunch of people that don't know how to live in the wild. Well, they need to be prepared to live that way. Shaw, you smoking crack, man. You really think that's going to happen? They've been used to pillows and blankets and air conditioning. They make it so cold in the summertime, you got to have a blanket on your bed. Sleep without the windows, man. If you open the windows, you got to be kidding. The humidity, I'll be sweating in the bed. I ain't going through menopause. I'm not practicing for the change or nothing like that. Crank the air conditioner down, man. It's hot. What do you mean it's hot? It's 75 degrees in here. It's hot. Let's get her down to 68 so we can sleep.
Amen.
And then all of a sudden, they shut your air conditioner off. Here's what's worse. They shut off your refrigerator. Yeah. Oh. Yeah. There goes all that stuff, and you ain't even got a microwave. What are you going to do? You go, well, I'll build a fire. You'll build a fire, and you'll cook in the wild, will you? I can see you. You know, what are you having? Stewed rat for today, you know. That kind of a thing. Eating, you know, the bottom end of cattails and go through there, and you find an echinacea plant, and you happen to know what it is, and then I'll have dandelion stew and all that kind of stuff. You'll last about, 24 hours. And then you'll be saying, I'll do whatever. I'll get to this in just a second. We were in Miami running prisons down there one time, and they had a big lockdown, man. Had a couple of guys escape, man. Had everybody out and had the puppy dogs out there and, you know, out there running them down and this and that and the other. And they just got a big, huge perimeter that they sat up and put the helicopter up in the air and all that. They shut everything down in the prison. And I happened to see the sheriff up there, and I said, Sheriff, ask you a question. He said, yeah, who are you? I told him, and I said, it's a little bit different than when something happens up where I come from. And he said, oh, he said, we don't worry about it too much around here. And I said, why is that? He said, well, first of all they got around them out here is cane fields. And he said, they got animals out there in the cane fields and bugs and snakes and stuff like that. He said, we just wait about maybe 24 to 48 hours. He said, they'll be begging to be put back in prison. I said, you got to be kidding. He said, man, that stuff out there, unless they got a car or somebody to pick them up, he said, that stuff will cut their clothes off of them. And he said, one long night in the cane field, they'll never break out of prison again. Well, sure enough, within less than 24 hours, they had both of them caught. They come in, and I did see one of them got cuts and scrapes and scratches from running through the cane fields out there and that big sawgrass and stuff out there. They got like that, and that guy was begging him, put me back in prison. I don't care. I get three hots and a cot. I'm good to go. You think you're going to survive like that? You're not going to survive like that. Maybe out there where I just came from, Missouri, where it's wide open spaces and things like that, you can have, but the population's not dense enough out there to matter for nothing. They got military training bases and stuff out there, but everything else in the town around there is just hunters and fishermen and farmers and people that have been taken care of by the government forever, and they just walk around. They're just slow kind of moving and quiet folks and those kind of things. Cut your head off and look at you, you know, but they might survive a little while longer, but it ain't like you here. Now, why am I telling you that stuff? Because all of that stuff doesn't matter when it comes to eternity. God's not concerned about your physical life and your physical comforts. Amen. He's concerned about your spiritual well-being. Amen. You know why you're here? You're in church because the spiritual part matters more than the physical part. Right. You get too focused on protecting yourself and protecting what you have and protecting all you've obtained and protecting all you've amassed and those kind of things. You get your eyes off eternity. The majority of this fear-mongering that's going on right now around the world, the majority of that stuff is propagated right here in the United States of America, where 90% of your Bible perversions come from. Right. You can't propagate this stuff in other countries. They'd laugh at you. The stuff you think is coming to you, they're living right now. Right. They're living with governmental oppression. They're living with one meal a day. They're living with no clothes and no running water. They're living with no electricity. They're living in squalors and they're living in stuff. You should come down to see the squatters camps down in South Africa. You should go over there to Manila, where in one place you got a 5-star hotel, and then right out in the alley you got people living out there and having to walk through their own waste and stuff and pigs and all out there along the way, and millions of people in a city packed in there like sardines. The stuff you think is coming like tribulation, they're living that right now. You couldn't preach the stuff preachers are preaching over here. They'd laugh at you. And what they do is they prey on stupid Christians that run around all the time worried about losing your creature comforts. Now, I'm for the comfort. I like the air conditioner. My idea of camping anymore is Holiday Inn, I guess, you know, something like that. But you want to go stay out in a tent and rough it, help yourself, man. Get me a tent with an air conditioner in it. I don't have to prove my manhood to somebody, let them know I can sleep outside and let mosquitoes eat me and stuff. I got enough scent to get a mosquito net. Really, they wonder about these old guys, you know. They go out and they go hunting and they got campers and they got fancy stuff like that. And you say, oh, they're soft. No, they aren't. They're smart. They know it's good to have creature comforts when they come in out of the woods. They got a place to take a shower and a bed to lay down in and some hot food to eat. You want to go put your little pup tent up and, you know, cook over the fire and all that kind of stuff and smell like smoke and all that. Help yourself. The rest of us will be over here and enjoying how it is. So you're soft. No, we're smarter than you are. Ladies and gentlemen, you're living in a day and time where apostasy abounds, and they're not paying attention to the fact that apostasy is abounding in a spiritual sense, not in a physical sense. And so what you have to realize is that you have to prepare yourself spiritually more so than you have to prepare yourself physically. And in the spiritual sense, you have to make yourself aware of some of the things we're going to talk about. And I hate to tell you this, but as time gets closer to the end, and we are getting closer, whether the rapture happens anytime soon or not, your country's done. God's done with the country. I'm entitled to say what I want to say. I don't claim to be a prophet, but I'm entitled to say what I want to say. But when you endorse the stuff that your country's endorsed, you can't expect God to bless your nation. It ain't going to happen. Now, that doesn't mean you just throw in the towel and quit learning to live. You live it as long as you can live it and go for it as long as you can go for it. But eventually, this nation's going to crumble. And it's going to crumble from the inside out. You say, well, what do? Wait till that happens? No, you make sure your relationship with the Lord is what it needs to be and keep it that way. And then when it happens and it comes apart. I'm not looking forward to it. It makes a hardship on us as well as other people. I mean, if all the judgment does fall in the United States of America, it's going to be bad for everybody. It was for the people in Germany. It was for the people in Russia. It was for the people in China. It was for the people in Vietnam. It was for people all over the rest of the world. You're not any different than those people. When you decide to live right and do right and act right and that kind of stuff, your freedom of speech and the stuff you've enjoyed for so many years, when that's taken away from you, it'll be a wake-up call for Christians too. You suffer with the rest of them. Amen. But you're not going to stem the tide. Right. Mm-hmm. It ain't going to happen. Amen. You know, well, did we just give up? No, you just focus on the right thing. Amen. And the right thing has to do with your relationship with the Lord. Amen. All right, Philippians chapter number 1, verse 3. Finally, my brethren... You know he's lying. He said, finally, he didn't put his watch on. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord to write the same things to you. To me, indeed, it's not grievous, but for you it is safe. In other words, I don't mind doing it, but I'm telling you, you're safe to listen to what I'm going to tell you. And then he follows it with this statement. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of concision. That concision is a division by radicals, individuals that are always trying to create, stir up, and cause problems, to depart from the norm, to depart from how things, to be different just for the sake of being different. All right, let's look at these dogs. Look in Isaiah chapter number 56. This is probably the definitive passage on it, Isaiah 56. We have them outlined this in school, Isaiah 56. You live in a strange time, ladies and gentlemen. You live in a strange time. Dogs come around, and the dogs they're fixing to talk to you about are dogs that are not even trained. Now, let me ask you a question. Would you go to a guy who is a claims to be a medical doctor, but he has no degree hanging on the wall? Well, TK wouldn't. I guess the rest of you would. I guess it would depend on how serious your ailment was. You might go to somebody for a cold or whatever, but if it's somebody that's got a serious ailment, would you go without at least knowing whether or not? You don't really care if they're saved or not. Don't tell me you do. You know what you care about? Do you know how to fix whatever my problem is? Would you go to a doctor that if you had a serious ailment, let's say heart disease or cancer or something to do with your liver or any one of the other 12 major vital organs in your system, lungs or whatever, would you go to a doctor that didn't have, had been trained under somebody? Wouldn't make any sense, would it? You get ready to build a house, and you're going to build a house, say, in Florida in this particular area. You're going to have somebody build you a house, say, cost you a couple $100,000 that doesn't have a contractor's license? Oh, anybody can drive and put a hammer and nail together, right? What's the big deal? Anybody can pour concrete. Surely anybody can run plumbing pipes. What's the big deal? Well, you're fixing to invest a couple $100,000 of your money. You want to make sure that guy's got a license so that you know at least somebody has taught him something. Right. Is that a fair statement? You live in a day and time where a guy can stand in a pulpit or get on the internet or do anything he wants to and have absolutely no training at all. And one of the reasons that dogs get raised up is that they wind up going and doing whatever they want. They read everybody's things and everybody's ideas, and then they come up with their own conclusions. And they have Bible schools, and they have churches, and they have pulpits, and they have no credentials. And people go that like hogs go to slop. Amen. See, you get a little nervous there. I'm telling you, that stuff's more serious than going to a medical doctor that has no training. Somebody has to have been trained. It's biblical. It goes all the way back to Old Testament times. Elijah trained Elisha, and they had a school of prophets. They trained other people. Paul trained Timothy, and they trained other people. Jesus trained 12 apostles, or 11. You know, one of them was untrainable, but he trained 12 apostles there, and then, of course, had a couple of guys that looked in, and then they trained other people. And nowadays, you live in a day and time where people are like, well, where are your credentials? I don't have any. Well, why not? Oh, you're too busy. You don't have time. One fella said that was in school for a little while. He came back to sit in my office a little while, and I said, well, brother, what are you going to do about finishing school? I said, it'd be good for your credibility. He says, oh, I already know more than your teachers. I said, well, there's one thing you don't know that they know. And he said, what's that? I said, how to sit down and shut up and let somebody teach you something. You say you shouldn't have responded that way. No, he shouldn't have responded that way. That's your problem. Your problem is that, well, you know, I ain't going to have anybody teach me. One of the things you have to learn in school is how to sit down and shut your mouth and let somebody teach you something. How can you dare demand people to sit and listen to you if you won't sit and listen to somebody else? Teachers are here for a reason, more than anything, to test your cotton-picking character, whether or not you can sit down. Ma'am, that's part of your problem sometimes is you don't know how to let somebody show you something. Well, praise the Lord, aren't we off to a good Sunday school this morning? The credentials are important when it comes to that. You say, why? The Bible says the place is reserved in the lowest hell. I'll show you in a little while. The people that have the greater damnation are the teachers of false doctrine. That's more so than Hitler and Mussolini and Stalin and all of them combined. And people gather to that slop all the time. I had a fellow call me not long ago. He said, oh, I started a church. I said, good. Where'd you go to school? He goes, school. Schools are apostate. You can't go to school. I read everything that old guy you call the old preacher. I read everything. I said, good. You read it. Do you have it in the proper place? Did somebody teach it to you? Did you ever finish anything? Well, I finished high school. What happened to your college? How many jobs have you had? You're fixing to get real upset with me. You're going to tell me a guy that can't hold a job is supposed to be standing in a pulpit somewhere? You know what he's telling you? I can't hold a job because I can't let somebody give me orders. Right. Well, you don't need to be sitting under somebody like that. You need to be able to have somebody that's submitted and has a life of submission where he's always under somebody on a regular basis before he's ready to be over somebody. Right. That's a biblical principle. nowadays you live in a day and time where somebody, they don't like this church, they don't like that church. A fellow called me from up just a little north of here, a little about halfway up into Georgia. Brother Peacock, he said. I said, yeah. He says, you got a school down there, you got a couple of fellows and graduated from school and this and that and the other. I said, yes, sir. And he said, oh, we need a pastor up here. And I said, okay, well, praise the Lord. I said, could I just ask you a couple of questions before I pass it on to a couple of fellows that I think would be ready to pastor a church? And he said, yeah, what's that? And I said, how many pastors have you had in the last 5 years? Answer, what business is that of yours? Statement, you called me, I didn't call you. But before I have somebody pack up their family and leave their job and come up there on the backside of nowhere just because you need a pastor, I want to know how many pastors you've had in the last 5 years. He said four, but I don't see what the difference is. And I said, I can tell you what the problem is. Either you or somebody in that church owns that church or the land that it's sitting on. And when you get tired of a preacher that tells you something you don't want him to tell and you can't control it, you run them off and you look for somebody else. You want them to come up there, find a job and work all the time. And you don't want them to be a pastor. You want them to be a hireling, somebody to marry you, somebody to bury you, and somebody to get up so you can tell everybody in the town, since y'all bought and paid for the church building, we still got a church going. And I said, sounds to me like you're really the pastor of the church. So you pastor it. She said, you have a biblical responsibility to tell those guys. I said, I'll tell them, but I'll also tell them that I wouldn't come up there within 50 miles. And I said, why don't you give me the names of those other four guys so these guys can call them and ask them what the situation was. And I said, I'll guarantee you I already know what all four of them will tell you. And he said, well, why do you think you would know that? And I said, well, just let me ask you this. Do you or somebody in the church own everything in the church? Well, it's been nice talking to you. Thank you for your time. Amen. Well, you didn't answer the question. Or maybe you did. Now, you say, what is that? That's somebody that can't sit under authority. That's somebody with no training. That's somebody I'll teach myself. I don't need a man to teach me, but then demand submission out of you. We'll wind up starting a school or something like that to teach other people, but they've never sat long enough to be taught. There's more to school than just a degree. You think every school I had to go to when I was down there, all these touchy-feely schools, all these how to get along with people and how to cope and share with people and how to be aware of people's rights and the people in the racially biased people and the lesbian and the this and that and the other. What do you have to do? Sit down and shut up and get out of the school. Right. Amen. You go to school, they teach evolution. Okay, fine. Well, I'm not going to teach my kids evolution. Well, you were taught evolution, stupid, and you realized it was wrong, and you came out, and you're all right, aren't you?
Yeah, amen.
What's the problem? You watch the news every day. I guess you must believe that stuff or something. You have enough sense to teach your kid that ain't right, don't you? You think the stuff they teach in your colleges and stuff right now, ask Dr. Noble, you think the stuff that's taught in school right now, especially when it comes to philosophy and things like that, is stuff you want your kids to buy into? No, you teach them the good part of it. But if you want to pass the class, you got to do what the teacher asks of you.
Amen.
That's not compromise. That's wisdom.
Right. Amen.
Pass the class. Or be a maverick all your life and run around and brag to everybody about the fact that you never listened to anybody tell you anything, and then you get out and you got no credentials and you got no degree and all that, but you want everybody to listen to you. By what authority do you speak? You can't go sit in school for 3 years and graduate from school and you want people to sit under you and listen. I don't believe in that. I don't think it's right.
Amen.
Even Jesus, when he came down here, you know what they said about him? He spake as one as having authority. Authority is a big issue. Isaiah chapter number 56. We'll just pick it up around verse number 10. Make it 8. The Lord God which gathereth the outcasts of Israel, yet will I gather others to him beside those that are gathered unto him. All ye beasts of the field come to devour, yea, all ye beasts of the forest. His watchmen are blind. We're going to talk about dogs. Now watch. His watchmen are blind. They are all ignorant. They are all dumb dogs that cannot bark. You know what happens to them? They don't have enough sense to be able to bark at anything. A dog doesn't do you know. Zeke can't bark much about anything right now. He's on his last leg, and I wish the Lord would just go on and take him, because I hate to think about what I'm going to have to do here pretty soon. But having a dog that can't bark doesn't do you much good. You know what he's saying? They got nothing to bark about because they can't tell you what the contrast is. So that's why they bark at all the fluffy stuff. They bark at all kind of things that don't matter to anything because they have no authority from whence to speak. They're getting along with everybody. Sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber, lazy. We're talking about dogs. He said, beware of them. What are dogs? They're lazy. They don't study the Bible. They think relationships with people are more important than a relationship with God. They think knowing more about psychology is more important than knowing something that God wants them to know. They spend more time relating to people than they do relating to God. Are you listening to me? That's the modern Laodicean church, the rights of the people, the people, the people. They're more interested in making sure that they build bridges between each other than they do making sure they keep the one open between them and God. They cut out the most important thing they have. They have people that are all the time running around taking care of people instead of taking care of the main responsibility. You know, the greatest thing I can do for you as a pastor is to feed you spiritually.
Amen.
That's the greatest thing. The greatest gift I can give you is to prepare you for eternity. And if you're too earthly minded, to make you uncomfortable as all get out. That's the greatest gift I could ever give you. You won't appreciate it now at all. Paul said, the more I love you, the less I'm loved. Paul said, the more I tell you about things in eternity, the more you hate me because you want me to make you comfortable and be there and do all. You know what he said? Best thing I can do is give you that.
Amen.
That's what a dog's supposed to give you, the right kind of dog. But you've got dogs now, they're lazy. You say, why? It takes time to study. It takes effort. You can't do it when you're always doing all the other things. They're greedy dogs, which never have enough. They always got to have more. More, 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 more. Somebody asked me the other day, preacher, what are we going to do? You got a big building pad out there. When are you going to get something going? I said, as soon as we get the mortgage paid off on this one.
Right.
Well, now, preacher, we need to... No, we don't. We need to get this all paid for.
Amen.
Once we get all this paid for, then we'll go ahead. We needed that parking lot. We got a parking lot now. And if it sits like that till Jesus comes, then it sits that way. You say, why? We have other responsibilities first. We'll pack in here like sardines if we have to, and we'll wind up going to two services if we were to have to before we're going to raise a stick on that place over there. You say, why? Because we have responsibility to take care of what we've already committed to. Without putting it, you say, why? Well, let me just give you the inside scoop. That's trying to protect me. I can't handle the pressure of worrying about whether or not we got money to cover bills. That's not right. I don't have the liberty to preach the way y'all allow me to preach and the way God lets me preach if I'm worried about keeping you around here or worried about losing somebody because your pocketbook would go with you. I can't handle that. Maybe I'm just too carnal that way. But the right thing to do is pile up the plates and we'll pay it off and pay it off and pay it off until it's paid off. And then once it's paid off, I say, okay, here's what it's going to cost us. We need to put some in the coffers before we get ready to take on more responsibility. You say, why? I'm not looking for more. I'm not trying to get more. Try to make it as convenient as we can. Thank the Lord after 25, 26 years, however long, we got a paved parking lot now. Okay, well, good. God's done something for us. Would you agree with that?
Yes.
All right, so put what you save in shoes in the parking lot and we'll pay for the mortgage. But we're going to pay it. That's my goal. Well, you can fire me. And get you somebody in here that's a CEO instead of a pastor. You can get somebody in here that's a people mover and a people person and a motivational speaker if that's what you want to do. And then we can put up a thermometer and raise a bunch of money and bring up a building. But if you want to keep me around here, you know what we're going to do? We're just going to keep plowing the road we're in right now until we get it all paid for. I mean all of it. I mean zero balance. Make a copy of the deed and get up here and burn it in front of you and say it's paid for. Anybody that's here visiting or anybody that's listening, now you know where I'm an old stick in the mud when it comes to that stuff. I believe we did right with what we've done, but I told you it stops there.
Right.
We got to get it paid for.
Amen.
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 Preacher, it should be good for what? Your reputation? Then we have a bigger building or whatever? I don't matter to me. I'm glad we have what we have, but we got to pay for it. All right, as watchmen are blind, they're ignorant, they're all dumb dogs. Dumb dogs, that means they can't bark. They're not able to speak, not just ignorant, that kind of a thing. Sleeping, lying down, loving the summer, they're greedy dogs which can never have enough and cannot understand. They cannot understand. They are shepherds that cannot understand. They don't understand what's the important thing. The important thing is feed the sheep, feed the sheep, feed the sheep, feed the sheep, feed the sheep.
Amen.
An old preacher used to tell me on a regular basis, he'd say this, feed the sheep. Feed the sheep. I'd say, well, preacher, you know, what about this and what about that? He'd say, feed the sheep, get out, feed the sheep, get out, get going out, go out, feed the sheep, feed the sheep, feed the sheep, feed the sheep. Rest of it, he said, will take care of itself over time, but feed them. Just keep them full all the time. Just keep feeding them all the time. And he said, if you're going to do that, you're going to have to study. You're going to have time to study. You're going to have time to preach and learn about preaching and how to preach and how to preach better. Otherwise, your people get bored to death and those kind of things. So we'd say, feed them, feed them, feed them. Never have enough. The Bible says, and they are shepherds that cannot understand. They all look their own way, every one for his gain from his quarter. That's how most people are. What's in it for me? What's in it for me? What's in it for me? The shepherd's worried about the sheep. Come, you say, say they, I will fetch wine, and we will fill ourselves with strong drink, and tomorrow shall be as this day, and much more abundant. Don't worry about anything. Everything's going to be just fine. Let's just have a good time today. Not preparing you for eternity at all. Look in Matthew chapter number 7. Matthew chapter number 7. Yeah, I'm pretty full up. I don't mean to sound smart-alecky to you or whatever, and I'm not slamming anybody that doesn't do it the way I do it. I just know that the Bible teaches clearly that in the last days there's going to be false teachers and false preachers that rise up, and they come in from among you. The Apostle Paul says in Acts chapter 20 and verse number 28, he said, I cease not to warn you how often, night and day, that when soon as I depart, Paul's gone, as soon as he's out of here, he says there will be people that arise up from among you. Amen. That's where it comes in. You don't have to worry about a Muslim or a charismatic or somebody coming in here. We've had them drift in and out of that kind of thing every now and then. It only takes a couple of times of preaching that pretty well they realize that they don't have a foothold here. We have men and women in this church that believe the Bible. They try to fish you away from here and try to teach you something weird. They don't take them long to realize they ain't going to make no hay with you. They can go fish somebody else's pond. They're like, man, them people ain't changing. They know the Bible. They come in here and they try to pull you into their way of thinking, and there's something you just something about that don't hit me right, preacher, you'll say. Something about that just don't hit me right. You're not being unkind. You're doctrinally smart. You know, they teach something weird, something way out, something whacked out, something that makes them feel comfortable. Do you know you're living in a day and time right now where they have restoration project going on for pastors who are coming out of religion that have denounced the believing in Jesus and denounced believing in God, denounced believing in a higher entity? They actually have it. It's called RR, and it's Restoration from Religion. And to help men to get assimilated back into society, to get them assimilated back into society like a halfway house kind of thing, so that they can accept the fact that people just don't understand how they could believe the Bible and now they don't believe the Bible, and how they could believe God and now they don't, and they're going to help ease them back into society. They have a whole system set up for that for clergy people. That's the day and time you live in right now. I mean, it's the epitome of apostasy. Right. People come along there and they realize, you know what, I feel guilty, I did wrong, and I don't think guilt's a good thing. And if God's a good God, and I believe He is a good God, but He's not strong enough to be able to assuage the tide of evil. So He's a good God, but He's just not a big enough God to take care of the evil. I'm talking about preached in the pulpits. I'm talking about people that have gone from preaching the Bible to preaching that kind of theology. That's where you're living right now. And then if you were preaching that and you pastored a church, we're going to help to assimilate you. We'll help find a job for you now that you've come to the realization of the truth that there really is no God. You've gone from believing in God to being an atheist, not even an agnostic anymore. Just don't believe in God at all. You know what that is? That's an individual that got to the point they felt so guilty and convicted about what they did. They didn't like that feeling, and so they looked for a way to just excuse the one that made them and say, well, it's got to be his fault. And then they exclude it. You folks are an odd bunch of people. I'm telling you, you live in a day and time where you come to church. If you listen to what I'm going to say to you right now, did you ever stop and consider this for just a second? Why does God have us have these small churches and things like that, and out of all the millions of people in the world, our churches today have a few hundred here and there and that kind of a thing. How come only a few hundred out of all the millions? What's God make such a big deal about the church for? Why does He make such a big deal if there's only a few of us that even come to bother? Well, I'm going to tell you why. God figured out what I'm going to do is if there's a remnant that wants to get close to me and wants to have something at the judgment seat of Christ, and they want to learn about me and study about me and have a relationship with me, I'm going to make a place for them where they can get some instruction to help them with that kind of stuff. And I'll reward them in eternity for it, but the rest of them, they'll just be saved. And that's the majority nowadays. You know what they teach you nowadays? They teach you this. Well, when you get old, you know, you just need to back off and lighten up. No, when you get old, you better put the pedal on the metal. You say, why? You fixing to meet Jesus, man. You might meet him in any time. After you get past 60, you know what you better do? You better start pressing close to the Lord, because you might go to bed and not wake up the next day. You might be sitting at the table having a, you know, some glass of iced tea and some shrimp or something like that. And the next thing you know, and, you know, absent from the body and present with the Lord. You know, what's this? That's a southern mentality, you know, kind of slow as molasses. Well, you know, how come you don't quit hanging out with your friends? And how come you don't quit fishing? And how come you don't quit? How come it's quit church? Why is that? I don't understand that. Why is that? Quit your Bible reading and quit your... Let somebody else do that. This ain't got no retirement plan in it. You don't retire. I'm a Christian. I'm retiring now. You better come set your butt on a pew for a... pardon me, your backside on a pew for a while. And you better do that until the day you die. It'd be a terrible thing for you to die, you old person. You come in here and the next time... You come in here and the next time you're in a box. And you're up there with the Lord, and the Lord says, well, I told you I'd get you to church one way or the other. That'd be a terrible thing to be up there, and the Lord say to you, well, since you turned 70, you ain't even been here, so I figured, you know, I'll get you back to church one way or the other. I don't understand that. That's modern-day theology. You know what God's done? God's designed a program for those Christians that want to know some things about Him and they want to have something, the judgment seat of Christ. If you want to have a robe of righteousness and you want to have gold, silver, and precious stone, the Lord fixed a way for you to learn some things, and He designed a church for you to do it. And the rest of them are just saved. And you'll see the delineation in the two when you hit the judgment seat of Christ. And it has to do with church. That's why the Lord just has these little places here, little places there, 10 or 12 or 15 here, 40 or 50 here, 100 there, 150 there, 200 here, that kind of a thing, over this kind of stuff like that. And He's just got it spread out. You know what He's saying to the people in Jacksonville? Here's a place right here you can learn about eternity if you want to go.
Amen.
And if you don't, then you're just saved.
Yep, just saved.
Praise the Lord, you're saved. You're going to heaven when you die.
Lord have mercy.
You know, isn't that what that means the most obvious? Just kind of, well, you know, saved. I don't have time to go to church any other time. What difference does it make? What difference does church make? Just tell me how to live right and do right. No, you missed it. You missed it. It's gaining stuff for eternity, internal knowledge. God gave that thing to you and told you to stay there and to stay faithful to it until the day you die for a reason. It had nothing to do with propagating the gospel. If it did, why? How's that working out for you? You're not reaching the world. Even with television and airwaves and all that other kind of stuff, you're not reaching the world. You've got more ways to propagate the gospel now than you've ever had before, and you got more people going to hell than have ever gone before. You got more atheists and agnostics than you've ever had before. You got more demon possession and other stuff than you've ever had before. Or if it's just that the church is supposed to be the pillar and ground of the truth, and that means that we're going to go out there. No, God put the church here for you. I'll grant you that on the side of that, there'll be a few people get saved, but you're living in a day and time where getting saved is not the thing for Christians anymore. Even witnessing to people is not the thing for Christians anymore. It's just staying in church because God said to stay in church. I like to have a church of old people. So, well, what do? Well, they can take up space. I like them to be here. I don't mean to be hard on you, but I'm an old people now, so I can go ahead and start lowering the boom a little bit. The old preacher said, until you get about 60 now, you have to be careful what you say to them old people. He said, you got to watch them. They're real tenderhearted and they're real feeble and all. But when you get around 60, okay, well, I'm there now and he's gone, so I guess I can get on to old people now. Old people, you got to set an example for these younger ones. You got to keep coming. You don't get to retire. Well, I've been going to church for 40 years. You know, it's time to let somebody else do that. Who told you that? The devil? God didn't tell you that. Find that in for me in the Bible. It ain't in there.